Well, tonight, as we come to the book of Colossians, once again, as Barbara was singing that song, and I was reflecting on the words of that song, it certainly says to me that if the Apostle Paul were singing a song, I think that would be one of the songs he would sing to count his life as loss to gain Christ Jesus and to be able to be a witness in all of the world. We started the book of Colossians this past Wednesday night, and the book of Colossians is another of the four prison epistles or the four prison letters that the Apostle Paul wrote while he was in a Roman prison. Of course, confined there, isolated there, certainly with little privacy there whatsoever, and yet all in the will and the plan of God, that God would allow him to be in such a place at such a time when the Holy Spirit of the living God moved upon his heart and life to pen the book that we have, the books, Ephesians, Philippians, Colossians, and Philemon. Those four books in the New Testament are what we call the prison epistles of the Apostle Paul. This past Wednesday evening, we looked at verses 1 and 2, and now we come to the latter part. Let me go ahead and reemphasize verse 2, where he says, "Grace to you and peace," grace, God's unmerited favor, in the song that Barbara sang a few moments ago. It spoke about that wonderful gift, one that we cannot earn. And I'm grateful that when Christ paid it all, Jesus paid it all to him I owe. Sin had left its crimson stain, but he washed it white as snow. Aren't you grateful for that tonight? The blood of Jesus that cleanses us from all unrighteousness. Tonight I want us to look at verses 3 through 8, if we get that far. Now Paul is going to speak to the Christians at Colossae about their faith in Christ. Remember, he's writing during a time there were different cultic groups that were out there, the Gnostics, G-N-O-S-T-I-C-S, or Gnosticism as we call it, was one of those false religions that was infiltrating the church and certainly going against the standard and the doctrinal issues that the Apostle Paul had talked about. And it would be also during this period of time that these Christians had to be on guard and be alert and be sober and to know the truth of the Word of God. Paul comes in verse 3. He says, "We give thanks to the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, praying always for you." One of the things I think, if there ever is anything that storms this world and puts Satan on the offense, or the defense, excuse me, against the church of the living God, it's when we pray. When we pray, you and I can never pray enough. I mentioned, I believe I alluded to it in my Sunday school class this morning, in that old Broadman hymnal, there's a song called "I Would Be True." And in that song, it says, "I would be prayerful through each busy moment. I would be constantly in touch with God." Now, I don't know about you, but in the world that I live in, that is shattered, that is broken, that is troubled, that no man can fix and put back together, there is a tranquil peace that surpasses all human understanding. And that is because of the grace of Almighty God in our hearts and in our lives. Paul says, "We give thanks." You know, we're coming upon the Thanksgiving season, but Thanksgiving should be every day in the heart of every saint of God. Every day ought to be a day of thanks, that we thank God for his abundant blessings, for his faithfulness, because his mercies are new to us every morning. Great is thy faithfulness. Paul comes with gratitude. In prison, behind prison bars, shackled in this very solemn picture of his life, it could have been some of the most distressing and discouraging moments of all. But somewhere in the midst of it, Paul sees the glimmer of hope. And the hope is in the God and the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ. He said, praying always for you. And notice he identifies who he is thanking. There are all kinds of cultic religions. This past week on television, I'm amazed at how people get caught up in cults. And they were doing several documentaries out there where people get caught up in false cults and false religions, and how very astute intellectual people get involved in those. It staggers my imagination to see how that people can be caught up in some of those things. And yet I suppose that for those who have the Spirit of the living God within them, we know beyond a shadow of doubt, because the Spirit leads us into all truth. So when he speaks here about giving thanks to God, the Father, the one who created us, the one who created this world, the one who flung the moon, the sun, and the stars, and the galaxies, and all of the things that are orbiting out there in space, this incredible, awesome, powerful God that we sing about. I can understand as he identifies that he prays and gives thanks to God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ. And that phrase, praying always for you. That's an action phrase there. Praying always for you. Notice how he breaks that down. I just want to ask you tonight, in just a few minutes here, I want you to think about, ask yourself the question, what is my prayer life like? What are the things that I pray specifically for? What are the things that are most important in the world that I live in, and what are the things that I need to be thanking God for, and the things that I need to be praying for? Let me tell you, all of us that are here this evening, we can walk, we can talk, we can move, we can have our being. Let me tell you, that's something to be thankful for. I can take you places in and down halls of nursing home facilities where many people no longer can think like they once thought. They can no longer be engaged in the things of this life as they once did. Some of them find themselves living and trapped in their minds in the past. And speaking about past days, let me tell you, you and I have something to be grateful for tonight. We have something to be thankful for tonight, that we can be engaged in this service this evening. Paul believed in prayer, strongly believed in prayer. If the Apostle Paul believed in prayer, if Jesus taught his disciples how to pray, and he did, when Jesus prayed in Gethsemane, Lord, if there is another way besides the cross, that's what he was praying. If it be your will, let this cup pass from me. He said, nevertheless, not my will, but thine be done. If Paul thought prayer important, if Jesus thought prayer important, our lives should be exercised and bathed in prayer through each busy moment of life. Now, you might say, well, Pastor, there are just moments in my life that I can't pray. I understand that. I've been there before myself many times. You just sometimes don't know how to pray. And yet I'm reminded when Jesus ascended back into heaven that he sits at the right hand of God the Father in that second place there of the Godhead, making intercession for the saints, praying for you and for me. Aren't you grateful tonight that it's not just your prayers that are being voiced for you, but Jesus is praying for you and for me, that we will keep the faith, that we will be strong, that we will stand and herald the message of salvation as we onward go through this world being good soldiers of the cross. Praying always, Paul said, for you. You know, Paul, all of those churches that he established in Asia Minor, those were so vitally important in his life. And Paul prayed for those saints. Paul prayed for those churches, and Paul prayed for those people. He prayed that they would grow in grace and knowledge of the Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. He prayed for their courage to stand in the midst of opposition and oppression. He prayed for them during their days of being persecuted for their faith. And Paul prayed for them for the resources and the provisions that God would give them. He said, praying always for you. What does that mean? Praying always for you. Let me tell you, as the song says, you can have a song in your heart in the night. Let me tell you, you can have a prayer upon your heart. You can have a prayer upon your lips every day of the world. Is to be praying through each busy moment, praying for this world and all of its problems. I'm grateful. I'm thankful that there is a hope beyond this life. The Bible says, if in this life only you have hope, you're of all men most miserable. I'm grateful he's going to speak about the hope that these Christians have. He prayed for them with fervency. He prayed effectually for them. The Bible says the effectual fervent prayer of a righteous man availeth much. Oftentimes, I think that in our prayer lives, we fail to see many of our prayers come to fruition. And I think the reason that is because we fail to see the effectual prayer, the fervent prayer of a righteous man living as godly, living as holy, living as rightly as we know how to live. And God looks at those prayers, and God hears those prayers, and God answers those prayers according to his purposes in our lives. We pray many prayers in life. We pray for our kids for divine protection. We pray for our schools. We pray for our parents. We pray for our churches. We pray for our nation. We pray for our cities. We pray for wisdom. We pray for knowledge and direction and understanding. I'm grateful tonight for the Word of God that gives me great comfort in these troubling days. And Paul voices a prayer of thanksgiving, and he's praying for them. Notice verse 4. He says, since we heard of your faith. Now he's saying, we give thanks to the God and the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, praying always for you, since we heard of your faith. And then notice, he talks about this faith that they have. It is not in the Essenes, which were a branch of Gnosticism, the Gnostics or Gnostics. They believed that they were given special, supernatural knowledge that only a certain group of people were privy to. And they believed in all of these emanations of knowledge toward God. And it was disrupting during the days of the early church. And so he very specifically speaks about the Colossians' faith, and it's in none other than Christ Jesus. And he speaks about and of your love for all the saints. Now I want to ask you a question tonight. What kind of love do you possess? Do you possess a love that says, I love you if you think the same way I think? I love you if you voted the same way I voted. I love you, and then we could go on and on and on and name the various things that we love each other for. Notice what he speaks about here. He speaks about their love for all the saints. It was a phileo, that's the Greek term for a brotherly love. But it was also an agape love for all the saints. They loved each other in Christ Jesus, their Lord. He says, because of your hope, or because of the hope. I want to speak for just a few minutes. What is hope? What does hope mean to you? What is that little word, H-O-P-E? What does that encompass? What does hope say to you and to me? Well, what hope says to me is, I serve a risen Savior. And as Kurt sang so ably a while ago, he may be 4 days late, but when he's 4 days late, he's always on time. And let me tell you, the hope that we have tonight, it's not the hope of this world. It's not the hope of politics. It's not the hope in a divided America. Our hope is in none other than the Lord Jesus Christ, who is coming one of these days to set this world back into its proper order. Heaven and earth, one of these days, will pass away, and he'll create a new heaven and earth wherein dwelleth righteousness. I don't know about you, but I long for that living hope that we have one of these days that will become a reality in each one of our hearts and lives. And he's thanking God for them, for the love they have for each other, for their faith in the Lord Jesus Christ. He says, because of the hope which is laid up for you in heaven. A few moments ago, I quoted the verse, if in this life only you have hope, you're of all men most miserable. Our hope is in heaven. Now, whenever a person passes from this life, they go into that temporary state in heaven where Jesus ascended back to heaven. But the eternal state of heaven, according to the Bible, is going to be one of these days in this new heaven and new earth that is going to be in this reconditioned, refined, reformed, recreated world that God will have for us. In other words, one of these days, heaven. John said, I saw the holy city, New Jerusalem, coming down from God out of heaven. And so one of these days, that eternal state, that's the hope that we have tonight. He speaks, because of the hope which is laid up for you in heaven, of which you heard, he said, before in the word of the truth of the gospel. In the word of the truth of the gospel. Let me tell you, if you and I did not have the word of the truth of the gospel tonight, we would be of all men most miserable. Let me tell you, I'm grateful for the word of God, aren't you? We sing that old song, sing them over again to me, wonderful words of life and duty, whatever the words are. They've suddenly escaped my memory. But words, wonderful words, beautiful words. Let me tell you, it's the word of God that brings the everlasting hope into our hearts and lives. And he speaks about the word of the truth of the gospel. Let me tell you, there are lots of religions out there that claim Jesus. But I want you to know, when you get to reading about many of those religions of the world, you find out that it's a different Jesus than the Jesus of the Bible. He says in verse 6, which has come to you, what is it that's come to you? This word of the truth of the gospel, which has come to you as it has also in all the world. Now, what on earth did the Apostle Paul mean? And scholars have debated that phrase there. And some of them come to the conclusion that Paul was speaking about his Roman world that he lived in, that the truth of the gospel, he says, which has come to you as it has also in all the world, in his known world. Paul understood that the gospel had come and spread out, and Christianity was flourishing, and the church had been born, and the church was moving rapidly throughout that world of persecution that would infiltrate the hearts and the lives of many of the saints of God. He said, also in all the world, in his bringing forth fruit. Let me tell you, I looked out over our crowd tonight with the ones in the sound booth, with Gail and Ken and me up here, and Johnny and Wendy in the media room, and I don't know who's out in the foyer, the security team, but I counted somewhere around 48 people. And you know, that could be awfully discouraging when we have been having far, far more than that on a Sunday night. And you know, you begin to ask yourself the question, what do we do about the winter months as the flu season comes on and as the COVID season is here and it's darker quicker? And you know, what should we do? Should we just watch virtually on Sunday night and Wednesday night? And then I realize there are those of you that look forward to coming to church and to have that connection. And you know, sometimes those are hard things to know what to do. But as Paul was speaking to this church about that the gospel, the truth of the gospel, their faith, their love for the saints was bringing forth fruition, I would love to believe and think, and I do believe and think and know that anytime we stand and proclaim the word of God, that his word, according to the Bible, does not return void. God takes that word and he brings it to fruition. Let me tell you, our prayers that we pray for one another and for the lost to be saved, those prayers, we get to watch many of those come to fruition. And he said, speaking about the word of truth of the gospel, which has come to you as it also has also in all the world, and in bringing forth fruit. I was grateful this morning to see the fruit of our labors as a family of five came to join the church, and as JD had given his heart and life to Jesus, the fruit of the truth of the gospel. He says, as it is also among you since the day you heard and knew the grace of God in truth. Once again, notice how Paul reiterates the doctrinal message of salvation through the gospel of the truth, the good news. And the good news, the gospel in a nutshell, is number one, God came to this earth, robed in human flesh in the second person of the Godhead, the Lord Jesus Christ, the one who would be the Redeemer that would liberate us from our sin's penalty that we could never pay. He died, he shed his blood, born of the virgin birth, was buried, rose triumphantly over death, hell, and the grave, ascended back to heaven 40 days after the resurrection, and 10 days after his ascension, the Holy Spirit came on the day of Pentecost, and the church was born, and 3,000 souls were born into the kingdom. The nutshell of the gospel, he's coming again one of these days. And I'm grateful that as he proclaims the fruit of our labors are that we continue on in this grace of God in truth. He said in verse 7, as you also learn from Epaphras, he was the leader, he was the pastor, our dear fellow servant, who is a faithful minister of Christ on your behalf. And so this pastor, this Epaphras, he's been a dear servant of the Lord. Notice, he's a faithful minister. He's there. He's involved. He's engaged in expounding upon the truth of the gospel. And Paul is telling about how they heard this gospel message. And then in verse 8, he said, who also declared to us your love in the Spirit. When Epaphras came to see the Apostle Paul, he had shared with him about the saints at Colossae, and notice their love in the Spirit. Aren't you grateful? Where the Spirit of the Lord is, the Bible says, there is liberty. Amen? Amen. God bless you tonight. Would you stand as we pray together and as we go tonight? Please be safe as you leave the building. Please do the best you can to protect yourself as much as you can. And we just have to trust God for all the rest. Amen. God bless you. I love you. God loves you. And thank you to our church family that have tuned in to the live stream broadcast this evening. Father, we thank you for this time of Bible study together. And God, I pray you would take each one safely home tonight. Return us back on Wednesday night as we continue to study your word, the truth of the gospel. In Christ's name we pray. Amen. God bless you. Please be safe.